Well, a very good day to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel. Thank you for joining us today on a very special day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, that's always good advice, for every day is a day God has given us to live for Him, to give Him glory and honor and praise on this day. You know, that's the way we find true joy. That's the way we try and find true fulfillment. And that is by giving Him praise, lifting up the name of Jesus. And that's what we're all about here at Tri-State Gospel, lifting the name of Jesus, proclaiming the good news of His gospel. We're examining the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Is He who He said He was? Is He who He claimed to be? And who is Jesus, my friend, to you? That's perhaps the most important question of life. Who is Jesus to me? For what I do with that question determines my eternal fate, determines my eternal destiny. It does for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl living upon this earth. Before we go to God's Word today, for His good word for us today, let us go to Him in prayer. Father, we come in the precious name of Jesus to Your throne of grace. And Father, we give You praise today on this day that You have given to us. Be our strength this day, we pray. Lead and guide us, and may we have the good sense to follow You and to submit ourselves to You and to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. Father, be glorified in our lives today. Be glorified in what we say and what we do. As we open Your Word this morning, we ask Your blessings upon Your Word. Holy Spirit, You gave us this Word. Cause it to come alive within us and in our ears and in our hearts today. Cause it to burn within us today, the truth of Your Word. And may it bring good fruit within us to Your glory and to our good. We ask in the precious, precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us today on A Good Word for Today. We are examining the question, who is Jesus? Is He who He claimed to be? Is He the only begotten Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit? Is He the Messiah, the promised one, the Christ? Is He the Savior of the world? We've been looking at that question, and you remember in our last session we dealt with 13 different witnesses, the first being the angel Gabriel to Mary and announcing the conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. The second, the angel to Joseph in his dream, assuring him that this child that Mary was carrying was of the Holy Spirit and was the Son of God and is the Son of God. The third being to John the Baptist, in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. You remember when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, John the Baptist, who was 6 months along in the womb, 3 months from being born, leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, we're told, at that time. And then she bears witness that the mother of God, Mary, has come to visit her. And then Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, bears witness that John will be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And then the host of angels to the shepherds at the birth of Jesus. And the shepherds then going and bearing witness of Jesus Christ, what they saw and what they'd heard. And then when Jesus was 8 days old, taken into the temple for the rite of circumcision, Simeon, that old prophet there in the temple, had been given the promise that he would not die until he saw the Messiah until he saw the consolation of Israel, as he put it. And he came up and took the child in his arms, and he blessed him, and he gave glory to God and declared there in the temple that this is the promised one. This is the Messiah. This is the one we've been waiting for. And then Anna, there in the temple as well, comes up while this is going on, and she also bears witness that Jesus is the Christ and Jesus is the promised one. So twice there in the temple by Simeon and then by Anna, there is a bearing of witness that this is the Christ, the promised Messiah. Then when Jesus was 12 years old, they took him back to the temple. This was his first remembrance, certainly, of being in the temple. He was there when he was 8 days old, and he would not have been back in the temple until he was 12, until his bar mitzvah, if you will, coming of age, coming of adolescence. And then there in the temple, you remember, he stayed behind, and his parents left with the group that they had come with to Jerusalem to worship. They got a day's journey out of the city, and they saw that Jesus was not with them, and he was not with their friends, so they went back to look for him there in Jerusalem. They found him having dialogue with the religious leaders and confounding them with his wisdom. And Mary says, you know, why did you do this, Jesus? Why did you worry us so? And Jesus answers and says, Mary, do you not know that I must be in my Father's house? This is the first witness of Jesus himself to the fact that he is the Son of God and that God is indeed his Father. Then we go from there to age 30 before we have another witness concerning Jesus. And then we go to the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan. John has been preaching and baptizing and bearing witness that there is one to come after him whose shoe latchet he's not worthy to bend down and unloose. He is greater than I, John said. And he bears witness of Jesus. I think John, the Gospel of John, probably gives the best and fullest account of the baptism of Jesus. And John sees him coming, and he says, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then he is baptized there in the River Jordan. And as he is baptized, we have the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus as a dove, bearing witness that he is the Son of God. And then the voice of God coming from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear he him. Listen to him. And then John's witness, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Those 13 witnesses we saw in our last session together, and we've just reviewed them here today. You know, let's just pause a moment and say that in the time of Jesus, in the custom of the Jews at that time, a fact was established on the basis of two eyewitnesses. Here we have 13 witnesses of Jesus. We have angels, we have God himself, we have the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus himself. We have then the witness of John the Baptist, of Elizabeth, his mother, the mother of John the Baptist, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. We have the witness of the angels to the shepherds. We have the witness of the shepherds, the witness of the prophet Simeon, the witness of the prophetess Anna, and we have then the witness of Jesus himself and the voice of God. Oh, my friend, 13 witnesses that this is Jesus, this is the Messiah, this is the Son of God. But it doesn't end there. This is just brings us up to the beginning of Jesus' ministry at age 30. Now, I might pause just a moment and explain a couple of things here. Jesus was taken into the temple when he was 8 days old to be circumcised. He was back in the temple when he was 12 years old, his bar mitzvah, as we would call it today, his coming of age, his beginning to become a man at puberty or adolescence. Then, of course, at age 30, he begins his ministry. In the custom of the time and in the law of Moses, a man was not to become a priest until he reached age 30. You had to be at least 30 years of age before you could begin serving as a priest. This was the age of complete manhood. This was the age of attaining of mature manhood, so to speak, age 30. So Jesus begins his earthly ministry, baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan at age 30, and for about 3.5 years, he ministers on this earth as the Son of God in flesh, the Son of God in human form, preaching and teaching and performing miracles and teaching his disciples that the reason he came was to go to the cross to become the Lamb of God, or to be the Lamb of God, to fulfill his destiny as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hebrews tells us that by one man, the man Adam, sin entered into the world. And by the man Christ Jesus, sin was taken care of. Sin was paid. Sin's debt was paid. Now the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And Jesus paid sin's debt through his death upon the cross. He was the perfect Lamb of God. So as the perfect sacrifice, he paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time upon the cross. Isn't that wonderful, my friend? We celebrate Jesus today. We exalt his holy name, and we acknowledge him as the only begotten Son of God the Father. Well, let's get into our message today with that bit of review from our last session together. And that bit of material concerning Jesus as the Son of God and the 13 witnesses there. Well, we're going to 1 John, or to the first chapter of the Gospel of John today. And I want to share with you some scripture, some of the most beautiful scripture, I think, in all the Bible, in the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here's John's witness about Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe in him, in Jesus. He, that is John the Baptist, was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which cometh into the world, enlightens every man. And of course, here he's talking about Jesus. He, that is Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, that is, to his own people, and those who were his own did not receive him. In fact, they rejected him, of course. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, that is Christ, and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. Oh, my friend, beautiful scripture, reading verses 1 through 18 of John chapter 1. Now let's review this a little bit. We're looking at witnesses. We're looking at proof here of who Jesus is. So here in John chapter 1, the Apostle John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is bearing witness to who Jesus really is. Now, in verse 1 that we read, he refers to him as the Word, and that is capitalized. The living Word, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, is the living Word of God. In Jesus is all things. Let's remember that Colossians tells us that it pleased God the Father for all the fullness of the Godhead bodily to be in Christ, to dwell in Christ. Christ is the embodiment of all things. We might look at it in this way. James says that all good and perfect gifts comes from the Father above. But you know they come to you and me today through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the channel. Nothing comes from the Father but what it comes through Jesus today. And nothing goes to the Father but what it goes through Jesus today. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the bridge. Jesus made that connection between us and God the Father by his own life, his own death, his own shedding of blood upon the cross of Calvary. My friend, Jesus is the living Word, verse 1 of John chapter 1. He was in the beginning with God. John says he existed before me. Jesus says in Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the A and the Z, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. It would be like you saying, I am the A to the Z in the English alphabet. In other words, I cover it all. All is in me, Jesus was saying when he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. So John says he existed before me. He existed from the dawn of creation. There was no time when he did not exist. He existed in the beginning with the Father. And it says that all things were created by him in verse 3. All things came into being by him or created by him. There was nothing that was made without being made by Jesus. He created it all. It was created by him and for him and through him. All things exist in Jesus Christ. Verse 4 tells us that in him is life, and he is the light of men and gives light to the darkness in which men walk. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the way, my friend. He is the truth. He is the life. Life is in him. Truth is in him. The way is in him. All things are to be found in Christ. God put all things in his Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 4, we find that he is the light of men, and he shines in the darkness to dispel the darkness. But many men, in fact most men, do not comprehend the light. They do not recognize Jesus as the light of the world, the one who is to dispel darkness once and for all. We go on then to verse 9, which says he was the true light, which come into the world gives light to every man who will see. You know, Jesus himself said of some, you have eyes to see, but you will not see. You have ears to hear, but you will not hear. Just because we have eyes to see doesn't mean we see. Just because we have hearts to understand and minds to comprehend doesn't mean that we understand, my friend. We can deny the light, and most men do, according to the word of Jesus. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus said, "The way that leads to eternal life is narrow, and few there be that find it." Oh, that's a sobering word from Jesus, my friend. Few comprehend that he is the light of the world who dispels the darkness of sin. Yes, verse 10 tells us that he came into the world, and the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. The world did not understand who he was. Verse 11 continues, "He came into his own, and to his own people, and his own people, by and large, rejected him." Yes, there were some who accepted. There were some who believed. There were some who proclaimed that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. But most did not. Again, from Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "The way that leads to eternal life is narrow, and few there be that find it." And he went ahead to say, "The way that leads to destruction is broad, and many go in thereat." The use of the word "few" for the narrow way, for those who find the narrow way that leads to life, and the use of the word "many" for those that go the broad way of destruction, is sobering, my friend. It should give you and me a greater desire to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ and to proclaim the good news of his gospel. We need to be saying to our neighbors, to our friends, "Listen, listen, Jesus is the only way to eternal life. Deciding what you will do with Jesus is the most important decision you'll make in this life. All other decisions become inconsequential. All other decisions are temporary. But this decision of what you do with Jesus personally is an eternal decision, and it determines where you will spend eternity, in heaven or in hell. Trusting Jesus, who is the only way, that's what gets us to heaven, my friend, and that's the only thing that will get us to heaven. Oh, my friend, he came into this world as the Son of God. He came in human flesh, yet he was the Son of God, yet he was God. But many did not know him. Many did not understand that he was the Son of God. Many even flatly rejected him as being the Son of God. So Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him, rejected him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power to become the sons of God. Now who can give the right or the power to become sons of God but God himself? Jesus is God. Jesus can and does give the right, the power to become the sons of God. And we become sons of God through Jesus. There is no other way. We must believe in him. As verse 12 tells us, even to those who believe in his name, he gives the power, the right to become the children of God. And the Word, verse 14, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I love Philippians chapter 2, where Paul writes, "Have this same attitude in yourselves, which was found in Christ Jesus, who, although he was God, did not look upon that as something to be grasped and held on to, but he laid aside his glory for a while, for a time. And he took upon himself the robe of human flesh, and he became a man and walked among us. And he became obedient, learning obedience to the Father, even to the point of death upon the cross. And because he was obedient to the Father and fulfilled his mission to pay sin's debt for all mankind, paying for all sin, for all mankind, for all time, God, as a result of that obedience, gave to him, to Jesus, a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. And then Paul continues in chapter 3 of Philippians, and he says, I count all things as lost for the sake of knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. Nothing is as important as that. Nothing is more important. I count all things as dung, actually, Paul said, as waste, as refuse. I count it all worthless. The only thing that's important, he said, is knowing Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. So the Word became flesh. The living Word of God became flesh and walked among us and went to the cross and paid sin's debt upon the cross. And while he was hanging there upon that cross, the very first words that he uttered from the cross, in looking up out upon that crowd who was blaspheming and cursing and spitting and calling him every foul name they could think of, Satan was pouring his worst out at that time on Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus looked out upon that crowd and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Oh, Jesus, what love, what marvelous grace. No wonder John says here, grace upon grace in verse 16, for of his fullness, the fullness of Jesus Christ, we have all received grace upon grace upon grace. The unmerited favor of God as expressed in and through Jesus Christ. In verse 17, John writes, for the law came through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the promised one, the anointed one. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. In other words, the only begotten, Jesus Christ. He's came from the bosom of the Father. He came from the seed of the Father. The God is his Father. Jesus has explained God. Jesus has shown us God. Jesus said to Philip in chapter 14 of John, Philip, have I been so long with you? You've walked with me these 3 years plus now. He said, have I been with you so long and you still don't know who I am? Oh, my friend, are we like that too? He came unto his own and his own received him not. The light shone in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. Listen, dear friend, know Jesus. Come to know him. He is the most important thing in your life. He is the most important person in your life. The most important thing you can do is to come to know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior. As Jesus said so often here in the Gospel of John, and I love this Gospel, here through chapter 13 especially, Jesus is teaching and preaching, and John gives us the seven signs, the seven wonderful miracles that Jesus did that John records for us and speaks of them as signs that bear witness that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, culminating with that raising of Lazarus from the dead. Oh, my friend, John shows us with seven wonderful signs that Jesus is who he said he was, that Jesus is the Christ. My friend, today we're celebrating who Jesus is. We're celebrating the fact that he is the only begotten Son of God the Father. We're celebrating the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And none of us ever are going to get to heaven unless we come through Jesus. As Peter said on that Pentecost day, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, save the name Christ Jesus. Do you know him today? Have you placed your trust in him? Is he your personal Lord and Savior? That's our prayer for you. There's nothing more important in your life than knowing Jesus personally, knowing him as Savior, knowing him as Lord, and soon returning King. That's a good word from God's holy word for all of us today.